The Imperium today. The history of the Rhino and its many variants. Today we are going to discuss one of the ultimate creations of humanity, which has been a bedrock of the Imperium's armies for as long back as our histories can gather. Now, being students of the Progenium, you will no doubt be aware of these vehicles through your training, and because, frankly, they have cemented themselves within our collective consciousness, having been present at nearly every event since the Great Crusade, and before then. There are many depictions of the Rhino in the very oldest artworks adorning the churches and temples of the Ecclesiarchy. So to begin, the Rhino, or as it is correctly named, the RH-1-N-0 Tracked Exploration and Multi-Purpose Defense Vehicle. It dates back to the Dark Age of Technology, when our ancestors were at their technological height. This beast of a machine has been at the forefront of human expansion for millennia. It was used by the first colonists on virgin worlds to map and explore them, and later adapted for war with the addition of weapon systems. It was first adapted for war during a conflict on Torben's world, although where that is currently unknown, against a presumably now extinct Xenos breed. Our ancestors adapted and deployed 300 of these weaponized vehicles and achieved a tremendous victory for mankind. The design spread quickly throughout humanity as news of this triumph spread. And the Rhino cemented itself as an all-purpose war machine and vehicle of exploration. It is one of the great relics left to us following the Dark Age, and an example of the power of the STC to aid humanity in achieving our great destiny amongst the stars, a gift from our ancestors. For a time, it was lost, and the only examples were those kept running for hundreds and possibly thousands of years across human worlds. But by the will of the Emperor, hard copies of the schematics were rediscovered, and the machine was put back into production by the Adeptus Mechanicus, becoming the main transport vehicle for almost all military forces during the Great Crusade. Imagine, Imperial Guardsmen transported in such victories. It was truly an age of wonder and abundance. In our current age, it is used by many organizations of our Imperium, but only sparingly, as the ability to produce these vehicles is somewhat limited. Those that are produced are in the main destined for the Adeptus Astartes, but the Holy Ordos of the Inquisition, the Adeptus Sororitas, and the Adeptus Arbites are able to requisition these vehicles for service in their own operations. When employed by organizations such as the Inquisition or the Sisterhood, they do receive additional benedictions, blessings, and other works to ward them against the demonic and other malefic influences they may be confronted with. Those employed by the Inquisition may also be manufactured from higher grade materials than even those produced for the Astartes. Now, as stated, in the days of the Crusade, the Imperial Army once had these vehicles in abundance, but that role has now been fulfilled by the more basic and easy to produce and maintain Chimera APC. The Astartes utilize many different variants of the vehicle, some of the oldest chapters having vehicles thousands of years old. The oldest known Rhino in existence today is named Nocturne's Hammer, which apparently once carried the Primarch Vulcan himself. It is now in the Salamander chapter's reliquary on Nocturne. It is part of the chapter's rituals that every century the rune of activation is struck upon the engine, and if it does not run, the Salamander's view, being a superstitious lot, is that it is a bad omen for the coming 100 years. Now, because it is an STC design, it has the wisdom of the ancients in its very construction. It can be produced using a myriad of different materials depending upon local circumstances. The intention of these ancient plans was for humanity to build these wondrous machines in any environment. In the main though, those constructed today are built using layered ceramite over a cast plasteel hull, but other metals can and are used, such as hardened steel. Its engine is a wonder and can keep running even when heavily damaged. It runs on almost any combustible fuel, again ensuring it can be used in pretty much any environment, and its crews can scavenge for fuels when supply lines are stretched. Each track section has its own engine, meaning that all four engines must be disabled to stop the tank fully. And these engines are fed by an air intake which funnels oxygen for the combustion chamber, which also means that it can function in vacuum and or hazardous environments, although additional modifications may be needed. It can be crewed by one driver, and the standard build comes with a storm bolter which is remotely operated by the driver, but it is also common for a pintle mounted storm bolter to also be attached. Now, the current most common variant of the Rhino produced today is the Mark IIc, although the Mark IB was once the most common and is still active across the Imperium. The Mark IIc has a number of advantages over older models, where the Priesthood of Mars have managed to integrate additional systems which have been recently rediscovered. The Mark IIc has improved engines and drive systems, enabling faster speeds and better load-bearing capacity. Although this does make the machine's maintenance more difficult and costly to produce than the more basic Mark I's. Their means of construction is an enormous ritual operation. The correct oils must be used to anoint the vehicles, the incense burned to sanctify each component. Protective sigils are engraved during the casting of armored panels. The machine spirit is blessed, and during the naming ritual, the vehicle is given a name which captures the history of the organization which it now serves and the character of the machine spirit. Here we can see this vid capture of a Rhino in action. As you can see from this footage of a backwater feudal world, the power and presence these vehicles have, and how easily it can overcome the native war machines. The Rhino APC's main purpose is to ferry troops from different locations safely, their hulls and armor defending their cargo until they reach their destination. However, over the ages, the main vehicle chassis has been adapted into various different variants to fulfill different battlefield roles. This is primarily due to the reliability and quality of its design, as gifted to us from the STC records. There are a number of variants you should be aware of. It is possible there are even older and rarer variants, of course, perhaps residing in the hallowed armories of Space Marine chapters across the galaxy. We can hope also that someday more STC records are rediscovered for our use, but in the main, the following are the main variants in use in the Imperium today. Our first variant is the Whirlwind. The Whirlwind allows the Astartes to have fast-moving heavy firepower support, which cannot be fulfilled by the kind of artillery used by the Imperial Guard. Normally, the Astartes do not need heavy supporting artillery because of their nature of combat being shock attack troops, or using aerial insertion. However, the Whirlwind gives them the option to have a means of leveling enemy positions or when dealing with large concentrations of enemy forces such as the Orc or the Tyranid, where their vengeance pattern high explosive warheads can decimate large groups of enemy troops. There is a rarely used variant of the Whirlwind with a dark reputation amongst the Astartes called the Whirlwind Hyperius, which differs only in the weapon system and the missiles it fires. They are guided missiles, which integrate a tracking and targeting system best used in an anti-aircraft and armor role. It is extremely effective, but is ill-favored by the Emperor's Angels, as in the past, during the Moria schism, where a corrupt Forge World corrupted the STC data, inserting hidden machine ciphers, which allowed these corrupt priests to remotely deactivate the vehicle and their missiles, which caused a great deal of damage to the Astartes fighting them. Despite this tampering being expunged from the schematics of these vehicles by Mars, once the Forge World of Moria was defeated, it has maintained its bad reputation. There is an older variant of the Whirlwind called the Scorpius, which hails from the Heresy, and there are still a few active examples in the Imperium, although the STC for their construction has since been lost. It was designed primarily for conflict in the Horus Heresy, with its targeted missile feed firing munitions perfected for cracking the Ceramite of power armour. It is extremely effective at this, but the Astartes rarely bring these weapons forth, as they are a cruel reminder of this dark period of our history. The Sisters of Battle utilise a similar vehicle named the Exorcist, which functions in the same way, although there are a multitude of interesting patterns. For instance, there is a variant which utilises an array of pipes which the gunner will play like an organ to fire the vehicle's missiles. The Sisters' variants of the Rhino are considered mobile shrines to the Emperor, which they are, clearly. And so they have a reverence for their vehicles, which is not exactly the same as in other organisations. Demolishers. Another solid variant of the Rhino is the Demolisher, which is exclusively used by the Astartes in those rare occasions where extremely heavy firepower is required, such as against defensive structures and armour, utilising a hull-mounted demolisher cannon and a heavy dozer blade, which acts as an additional layer of armour for the tank and its explosive cargo. It was developed during the Heresy, and during, specifically, the War on Rostern, where the Loyalist Astartes required siege weapons to support their ground troops through the densely built-up population centres. The battlefield solution was to mount thunder cannon on the hulls of their existing Rhinos, and it proved remarkably effective. The vehicle fell out of favour shortly after, but was included in the Codex Astartes as part of the expected order of battle for the new Astartes chapters, and so has been present in all Astartes armoured formations since that day. The Repressor. The Repressor is utilised by the Adeptus Arbites and the Adeptus Sororitas. It is an example of the cooperation of the Emperor's servants discovering a common good. This sharing of this variant between these two organisations is a relatively recent development. Before the Sisterhood took to the vehicle, the Repressor was a widely used variant of the Rhino in service with the Arbitrators and the law enforcement agencies of certain wealthy worlds. This model comes with a large dozer blade for breaking up mobs. It also has an extended troop compartment with side-facing firing slits so the passengers can fire their riot guns and grenade launchers, and also has a water cannon mounted in the top hatch. The Sisters began to use the vehicles following the events on the Cardinal World of Avignon, when 1 million pilgrims were incited to riot in a heretical fashion, and the situation rapidly ran out of control, requiring the Sisters to assist the Arbitrators in the following suppression. To do this, they commandeered the regular Repressors and modified them by removing the non-lethal weaponry such as the water cannon and replacing it with a heavy flamer. As you can imagine, the streets were quickly brought to a peaceful and charred peace after 2 weeks, and the Arbites Marshal gifted the order with these Repressors. This raised a theological debate, as the equipment the Sisters can use is strictly prohibited, and no other order could use them, which eventually resulted in a heated exchange during the 291st Synod of the Priories of Terror, where it was agreed that the victory on Avignon was the Emperor's divine will, and the Repressor was made available for all orders, and has been very popular ever since, particularly for the kind of clearance missions the sisters often find themselves on when heresy has afflicted a population. The Damocles Command Tank. This is an extremely rare variant of the Astartes Rhino. It is rarely seen because it is only used in major engagements, where a chapter will deploy several hundred marines to a war zone. This is rare, as they are most often deployed in squad or perhaps company strength at most, except in the most dire situations. The Damocles Command Vehicle comes with an array of sophisticated communication and tracking equipment, used to direct and command large formations of Astartes, armour, air power, and to direct orbital strikes. And not just from Astartes, but any allied force. It can also crack enemy codes and ciphers. It is not a frontline vehicle, and normally stays hidden behind the line, an onerous task for the battle brothers of the Astartes, but one which they perform from duty. Two marines generally man the vehicle, one as a communications controller, the other tracking friendly and enemy movements. Occasionally, the force commander will base themselves here, but rarely, as most prefer to lead their battle brothers from the front, using the Damocles as a relay to receive updates and to give orders. The Razorback. Out of all the variants throughout the Imperium, the most common you will encounter is the Adeptus Astartes Razorback. The Razorback STC was discovered in M36 along the Southern Rim, and has been adopted as part of the STC canon in just 2 centuries, with deployments to almost all chapters. Historical sources pointed to there being a troop-carrying forerunner of the Predator tank, which this vehicle fits the description of perfectly. The Predator, which we will discuss shortly, is the evolution of the Razorback into a full-line battle tank. It was developed to provide additional firepower, which the standard Rhino did not give. It utilizes the near-perfect build of the Rhino for speed and survivability with the heavy firepower of a turret-mounted weapon, with different options available for the armament. Unfortunately, the Razorback has its detractors, as it is only able to carry 6 Astartes into combat, as the rest of the space is required for the weapon system and its ammunition. Some argue it was built by committee, with it not fulfilling the role of either battle tank or APC, and failing at both. It usually acts in support of an armoured assault, where its complement of infantry, heavy firepower and speed complements the more ponderous vehicles. Or it is used in scouting operations, where it can deliver punch to support of light troops. Most heavy weapons can be fitted to the vehicle depending upon circumstance, and recently the Firehawks chapter devised a means of mounting a multi-melter to burn through fortifications during the Bad Out War. The Grey Knights, a secretive order of Astartes which you don't need to know any more about, use a Razorback variant named the Vortimer, after their master armourer, Regis Vortimer. It was commissioned during the deliverance of Bulgate, where the Shrine World was overrun and its labyrinthian catacombs required purging from the demonic legions of Nurgle. It is fundamentally a Razorback, with one of the few rare Psycannons mounted atop it. The tomb-like caverns were the perfect environment for the deployment of small strike forces of Grey Knights in these Razorbacks to launch devastating strikes, mowing down the densely packed hordes of Plaguebearers. These vehicles are now kept in stasis on Titan until they are needed again. Such is the rarity of the Psycannons it uses. The Sisters of Battle also utilise a similar variant, known as the Immolator, which is iconic to their orders. Although it is fundamentally a Rhino, it has some minor alterations stemming from the discovery of a trove of STC data. The Icaria Crusade spent 30 years off on the fringes of the Ultima Segmentum before it captured an ancient factory complex on the planet Fornost. Realising the importance of the ancient crystal data stacks, they sent word to the Adeptus Ministerium, and the Ecclesiarchy decided to keep the discovery secret to be used in future negotiations with the Adeptus Mechanicus. Eventually, an accord was reached between the two organisations, whereby the tech priests would be allowed to access the ancient data in return for the Ministerium having exclusive access to any weaponry discovered. The tech priests agreed and eventually found fragmentary data for a flamethrower tank, which, when combined with the existing Rhino data on Mars, allowed for the creation of the Immolator. This Phornosian Accord stands to the present day, and the Sisterhood are the only Imperial organisation with access to this particular variant of Rhino, with Forge Worlds producing them for no one else. This may go some way to explain the Sisterhood and the Ministerium's war machines in general having such an affinity for fire. And it might not simply be a religious sensibility, as these vehicles are a great propaganda tool, which could have affected the entire priesthood and sisterhood's attitudes to warfare. It has some other variants, such as the Justice, which mounts multi-melters, and the Sanctity, that has heavy bolters. To be honest, I feel like the Ecclesiarchy has been done over in this deal, and are too stupid to realise it, as the tech priests have basically just plonked a heavy flamer on their tanks and told them, no, this is really, really special, trust us. But the bolter bitches seem happy enough either way. Predators. The main battle tank of the Astartes, aside from the supremely rare and expensive Land Raider, is the Predator battle tank. As we have just discussed with the Razorback, it is the evolutionary endpoint of the Rhino. With the historic archives, we can see that although the Rhino was a supreme example of the genius of man, many commanders wished for more punch from them. During the Great Crusade, the Rhino was fitted with sponsons as part of this evolutionary process, and eventually it was decided to forgo the troop-carrying element completely and replace it with a turret on top, thus creating a mainline battle tank. No longer needing to ferry troops, additional armour was fitted, slowing it slightly, but the additional firepower for close infantry support was deemed worthwhile. As stated, the armour is stronger than on standard Rhinos and comes in three layers. The inner layer is a bonded ceramite adamantium ore, equal to 5 times the strength of steel. The second is a thermoplast with a subdermal energy dissipation fibre mesh, protecting against heat and radioactivity. The outer layer is a non-magnetic acrylic identification sheath. The main and most common pattern is the Destructor, which has either heavy bolted sponsons and an autocannon mounted in the turret, or the Annihilator class with las cannon sponsons and a large twin-linked las cannon in the turret. The Annihilator was developed by the Rune Priests of the Space Wolves, who needed a tank capable of cracking the other tanks and dreadnoughts of the traitor legions. Luckily for this notoriously rules-loving chapter, their Rune Priests had a vision of a new configuration which the Iron Priests started to modify their Predators into. Lucky that! This variant spread rapidly throughout the Imperium and has become standardised, particularly when it became clear to the Tech Priests that the Space Wolves had somehow been able to overcome a previously insurmountable problem with power transmission and the coolant feed, with this prophetic knowledge, and definitely not using imagination and innovation. Another chapter which has entered into history of the Predator are the Blood Angels with their Baal Predator. This STC pattern was found by the Blood Angels during the Great Crusade, after storming the inner sanctum of the Heretic of Atium III. Instead of turning this over to the Mechanicus, they kept it for themselves and returned it to Baal, producing this variant exclusively for themselves and their subsequent chapter descendants. They have never handed it over and kept it in stasis with the relics of their chapter. Bit harsh, to be honest. Because of this, the templates have never been verified by the tech priests, so it is borderline heresy and no doubt a cause of tension between Baal and Mars. The Blood Angels provide the details of its construction to their successor chapters, so that all those of the Blood of Sanguinius can utilise this unique vehicle. It sports a twin-linked assault cannon and usually heavy flamer sponsons. This is pretty much an anti-infantry tank, which fits neatly with the Blood Angels' normal method of ferocious close assault, and of particular utility against foes who rely on large numbers of infantry, such as, again, the Tyranid and the Orc. The Blood Angels and their successors also make use of the Lucifer Pattern Thermic Combustion Engine, which it is postulated the STC data for this unique engine were discovered at the same time as the Baal. This is a far more efficient and faster engine, enabling Blood Angels Rhinos greater speed than those of other chapters. There is a cost, however, as this engine is limited to the amount of fuel types it can consume, unlike normal models, which can run on just about anything. Additionally, their vehicles require far more maintenance and repair, and it also appears to turn the machine spirit into an aggressive entity, like its owners, requiring regular supplication to control. There are a number of now lost technologies to construct extremely rare variants of the Predator. Without the need to transport troops, the inner hull can be given over to complex technologies or vast amounts of ammunition. Most of these variants are lost, but one, the Deimos, is still manufactured in limited numbers and was originally used in the Great Crusade. It mounts an Executioner-class plasma destroyer, which is ridiculously powerful and can incinerate foes and blast apart armour with insane ease. Some chapters with gifted tech priests have been known to swap out this plasma cannon with a heavy conversion beamer, turning it into a long-range tank hunter or siege unit depending upon need, although this makes it a cumbersome vehicle from the extra weight. It has seen an upsurge in popularity due to the Tyrannic Wars, where its firepower has proved its worth against the biological horrors unleashed by the High Fleets. And there we have it, the history of the Rhino and its many variants. Hopefully this will aid you in understanding these vehicles and their role in the armies of our most holy emperor. With the coming of the Primaris, it would appear that another vehicle or a new SDC is required, as these vaunted warriors are at present unable to utilise any of these vehicles, which seems like a bit of an oversight by the designer of these amazing new warriors who can kill 10,000 year old Chaos Lords with knives. Unless, of course, it's due to something far more sinister. Thanks everybody for watching. If you wouldn't mind giving this video a like, and if you're not subscribed, please do subscribe and share if you happen to know anybody who would enjoy this. More videos are coming up soon, so stay tuned to the channel. Also, I want to thank everybody who's been supporting the channel. You should see your names appear here. And if you'd like to join this roll call of honor, please follow the links below to become either a YouTube member or a Patreon supporter. And thanks to everybody who does, it really means a lot, really makes this whole process a lot easier for me, lets me buy the books I need, lets me, you know, it's great. Thank you very much, it really means a lot. If you can't do that, or you don't want to, which I understand completely, maybe consider trying out an Audible subscription by following the links below also. Alternatively, if you don't want to do that, please consider trying out the Brave browser, as everybody who does, they send me a little bonus. So yeah, give it a go. It keeps your data private. It also allows you to control the kind of advertisements you see. And where in return for viewing some adverts that they serve, you get a portion of the profits from that. So I think it's the future. It's like all cryptocurrency type thing and everything, but it's all above board. It all seems legit. And I've been using it. It's pretty good. Anyway, thank you all for watching, and I will see you again next time. Remember to like the video. Cheers. Bye.